Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Bringing Penn State football out of a, quote, living hell? Now, I would say Bill O'Brien did that. I don't think that was James Franklin who brought the program back from
O'Brien left, the dead. O'Brien left in a blaze of glory. Remember, he was basically saying, if these paterno loyalist people are mad about what I'm doing, they can shut the F up. And I'm paraphrasing here. I'm sick of those people. And then walked right out of there. And Franklin did take over at a point in time where they were still sanctioned heavily.
Yep.
And so I absolutely think like he brought them, he finished the process of bringing them out of a dark period. Bill O'Brien took the ball and ran with it at start, but I think Franklin on that front absolutely did a lot. His problem was he got them to a level and then couldn't get them to the next level and kept them there long enough where people were like, how are you this bad at beating your new contemporaries in the sport?
But I felt like when he got there that Penn State was already on the comeback trail. You know, like I felt like the heaviest lifting had already been done by O'Brien.
I didn't.
Like you actually still felt it was a hellscape when he got there. So you agree with Dawkins?
Yeah, I think that's actually.
Well, then he should get a lot of credit. Then he should get a lot of credit then.
I mean, I don't think his. Well, I think calling his tenure like some binary pass fail is completely missing it. I think for much of what he did, like his time there, he did very good work. He elevated that program. That was not a plum job when he took it. It has become a plum job because of the work he overall did. His big sin was once he got them near the level of Michigan, but especially Ohio State,
right?
He never got over that level. But if you're taking his tenure in balance, he took them from a place that was pretty ugly,
yeah,
and got them to a place that is much, much, much better. They are going to be, I would say, unless like some other monster job comes open, the most attractive job opening in this carousel season. That's a more attractive job than Florida, in my opinion, if and when they fire Billy Napier. It's a more attractive job than Oklahoma State.
Well, that's, yeah, that's a given.
More, I mean, who else is, it's a way more attractive job than Virginia Tech.
I don't necessarily agree with Florida. I don't know if I want to make that an argument right now and have that conversation so much. I do think it's interesting that just hearing you say, hey, let's give this guy props for digging Penn State out of the hole it was in. I do think it's interesting then that you were so, you were so firm on saying yesterday this was the right move and getting rid of James Franklin was the right call when just a year ago they were in the Final Four. I mean, he did get to the national semifinals. They were beating Notre Dame late. It's not like he was coming off a disappointing year. He was coming off his best year as Penn State head coach, arguably.
That's like a sliding doors moment because I think the continued failures, like beating Notre Dame late but not finishing the job, to me.
So you would look at that year as a failure?
I would look at that year as a continuation of the same problems that plagued him every time he saw a team with a big ranking next to their name. And then this year,
well, Boise State and SMU had, quote, big rankings. They just weren't
a major conference team, I should say. I know SMU's an ACC team, but they're, I would say, fourth on four.
I mean, I'm guilty of that too. I mean, I absolutely think that fans move the goalposts on him. In terms of like,
but they did because they moved the goalposts because he moved them by being successful enough for the expectations to change.
I understand that, but I would say that the national quarterfinals is a big game. He won it. It wasn't close. And then we decide after the fact that it actually wasn't a big game because Boise State wasn't a good enough team. I am raising my hand to someone who did that to him. I could understand some people in his camp being like, well, that's horse crap. They had the best running back, maybe the best player in the country, and we smacked him in the playoff, and nobody gives our coach credit for it. And for the most part, I think they're right. Like, I didn't give him a lot of credit for winning that game.
But it was still
a big game.
You could still file both of those games under beat a team he should beat. It was a one-man band in the form of Genty. Kevin Jennings puked all over himself at Beaver Stadium in a game you and I both thought SMU was going to win.
Right.
Not our best look.
Then he should get credit for it if we thought he was going to lose that game.
He absolutely should get credit for having built that program back up. Like, if O'Brien started it, here, you know what's the analog here? In this situation, O'Brien is Ben Howland, and Jamie Dixon and James Franklin are one and the same.
Fine. Jamie Dixon actually
was a better Pitt coach, pretty obviously, because he did it for a lot longer than Ben Howland.
Yes.
But he never got over the hump, and eventually it curdled.
Yeah.
And I think if they lose to Oregon and they come back and kind of do their thing and probably definitely lose to Ohio State, they never go there and win. That's part of the problem. And probably with the way things are going, lose to Indiana, but that's it. And
yeah.
They beat everybody else. They beat Iowa.
Right.
They beat Nebraska. He's a 9-3 coach, and people are like, you lost to three likely playoff participants. No big shakes. This is same old, same
old.
It's losing to the two teams he lost to that made it toxic.
But I do think, and it's interesting, I was talking, I'm not going to tell this person's name because I don't have permission to do it. Amanda and I have a mutual friend who was a captain at Penn State, and I asked her to text him last night for his thoughts on this. And I thought, having been at these games, that he was going to have a very negative viewpoint in terms of, like, it was past time.
Mm-hmm.
It had to happen. You can't lose to Northwestern like that. And to pick up on what you said about Dixon, his take was actually, Penn State fans have lost their minds here. We just fired a guy who wins 10 games every year, with the exception of, this is a horrible year, but for the most part, has us really good every year, and we just fired him because we've got these delusions of grandeur that we can actually be better than what we've been under James Franklin, which, if you think about it, to go back to your Dixon analogy, that's kind of what it's been like for Pitt since they got rid of him. They have not gotten back to that point. Everybody thought it was stale and it was time, but like, we were bitching about getting into the NCAA tournament and not playing well in the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? They haven't sniffed that consistency since.
I would say the one difference between Franklin and Dixon in that sense is Dixon's 09 team especially was a really good college team. But, Kevin Stallings once made fun of me to my face about this. Most people in the sport thought if they had gotten by Villanova, UNC would have crushed them.
But James
has had, rosters that other...
But James could say if they didn't take a Washington team that had no business being in the playoff, we would have gotten in, and maybe I could have won with Saquon Barkley.
Maybe he could have. But
probably not, because he's James Franklin, but he could at least say that.
But also, this year, on paper, he was supposed to have maybe his best team ever, and it cratered for him.
Right.
Like, that's where it changes. He had a better team on paper this year than I think Jamie was ever able to assemble at Pitt, and look where it has them at through six games. They're probably going to be 3-6 after nine games. Would you agree? Iowa, Ohio State, Indiana in
a
row?
It's possible. I mean, they might win at Iowa on Saturday, but who knows? What difference does it make? It's still an unbelievably lousy,
They'll be struggling to get into a bowl.
Embarrassing season.
They might be playing their future coach, potentially, Nebraska, with a chance to save themselves for bowl eligibility.
I just wonder if any Penn State fans agree, and I want to give them the chance to sound off on this, that Franklin kind of got a raw deal at 412-928-9370. Someone else who agrees with that is Rich Rodriguez, which is interesting. He said this on his radio show last night, quote, "I don't know if it sends the right message to your team that you kind of gave up on your team. It's not even halfway through the season. This is not the right time to fire a coach." Rich Rodriguez.
The right time to fire a coach is right before they bolt for a new job at Michigan, presumably.
But, they didn't even give him time to turn the season around.
I maintain that you've got former players sticking up for him here and everything, and you might have a subset of that fan base that is now wildly out of touch with maybe what the reality is, as long as Ohio State is Ohio State, pony.
Yeah.
But I maintain, I haven't talked to anybody on the inside there. You think any Penn Staters really want to talk to me? I maintain that the way this happened, it was probably kind of impulsive, but probably also based on that locker room looking like an atrocity right now, as far as like morale and everything else. I think he lost this particular team. And I think that they were
probably...
Well,
they played like it. They played like a team that had quit on their coach.
And I also think that once the UCLA game happened, truth be told, I think that they were going to move on from him at bare minimum at the end of the season. And
right.
I think Northwestern just accelerated the process.
Yes.
That's what I think happened.
Well, it's interesting. There's a lot of Penn State fans. I mean, this is everything. This is like their world right now. What do you do? How do you replace James Franklin? I did not think that after yesterday... we were going to be met with criticism from inside the program, from current players and former players, that this was the wrong move. And I wonder, I'll open up the phone lines again to Penn State fans and Penn State alums, if anybody actually feels that way. Maybe there isn't, and I'll throw it out there at 412-928-9370, and we'll have nobody call in who says, actually, I do second guess or question them firing James Franklin, and we'll just move on from it. But when... probably the biggest mouthpiece. Dawkins is a great talker. He's just like his dad who passed away. He is an excellent, excellent, excellent talker. When he unprompted like cuts this promo on people that are reveling in James Franklin getting fired there, it does get my attention.
It sounds like he should have just done the hard times promo, Donnie. You think James Franklin put hard times on Penn State? No way.
No, he's saying it's the opposite. He's saying he basically saved the program.
He did save
and
the program.
And he's getting no, he's getting just, I almost swore. He's getting blasted for it. And I wonder if Penn State fans feel weird about that. Yes, here's a man that rescued us, but I'm thrilled that he got fired. How do you say he sucks at his job then? You know, if you're one of these people.
Now, should Pitt fans not call in on this in case, or neutral parties?
No, Pitt, they can eventually, but like I said, I prefer to hear from Penn State fans first. Bill texted and said, well, what grade would you give James Franklin for his entire tenure then at Penn State?
I think his tenure is probably like B to B plus range.
Malzi, Donnie?
That's what I was thinking. I mean...
probably B plus. I'll be firm and say firm B plus.
Up until these last 2 weeks, the guy never had teams stub their toe. Like he always just lost.
He lost to Indiana and some teams early on, way back. He lost that game against Illinois that went
okay,
like 20 so overtimes.
Once he got this team and program back to the level that it's been at, he very rarely.
Sure.
2020
lost
and 2020
to any sort of bad
from
team.
2016 up through the end of last year. He has 2020, weird year, COVID year, throw it out the door. And he has 2021, also weird. Other than that, it's been 10, 9, or 11 wins every single time.
And he usually just lost to the teams that everybody else
He won a Rose Bowl. He won a Cotton Bowl. He won a Fiesta Bowl.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Jay Franklin's a great coach, and it's a business we're in. Again, I say business, it's business, and he's got to do what he got to do. But I'm not concerned about that. We don't play him, James will be okay. Got a lot of respect for him, and it's a shame because he's a great coach. I mean, we all know that he won a lot of football games. It's in the playoff a year ago, and he's looking like he is. So. I'm more focused on Fran Brown and Syracuse, Georgia.
Pat Narduzzi on James Franklin getting fired. It's a shame. He's a great coach. I didn't think Penn State fans felt that way. then one of their captains sounded off on Penn State fans being excited for what's next and how that's disrespectful to James Franklin, basically. And I talked to a former player last night who thinks Penn State fans might regret dumping a coach who's won this much for the coach mystery box that comes with hiring someone else.
Who gets, who could they hire who would be perceived slam dunk by essentially 100% of respondents as an upgrade?
Kurt Cignetti.
That might be the only name, right?
Nick Saban.
Who could they realistically hire? Because I'm going to leave Saban out of it and probably Urban Meyer too.
Kurt Cignetti.
Okay, so there's one. If they hire Matt Rhule, what exactly have they hired? James Franklin?
How about Marcus Freeman?
That would be a less than lateral move for him. That would be a step down. Notre Dame is a top, what, three job in perpetuity in that sport?
Well, the last guy, though, left for greener pastures.
Did he?
Well, he thought so. And then he
affected a weird southern accent. They're talking about eating grits.
Let's talk to Mike in Somerset. Hello, Mike.
How are you doing?
Hey, man.
It's disappointing to see James go in a way, but it was time. I mean, he was a great coach. He did great things, but...
Are you confident that the next coach will be able to get Penn State over the hump that James Franklin brought them to, but like Sisyphus, would constantly have the ball roll back onto him?
It better not be Matt Rhule, because he will not.
Thank you, Mike. All right, so there's a guy that's going to...
That's the front runner.
...call James Franklin a great coach and...
But it was also
some
time.
Love on the way out.
I mean, the Jamie Dixon parallels, I think, the more I'm actually like playing this out of my head, seem pretty obvious here.
Here's Andrew in Altoona. Hello, Andrew.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, man.
I think that Franklin did a lot of good things at Penn State, but I think, like last caller said, it was time for him to go. And I want to give you guys a name who I don't know if someone said called in yesterday. Joe Brady. He has Penn State ties, and he's offensive coordinator of the Bills right now.
Man, his stock probably not that high. Did you watch that Bills offense last night?
I think Joe Brady is going to get an NFL job here.
A lot of people think he's going to get the Tennessee job now.
Unless their offense continues to go in reverse, which you're right, it did last night.
I mean, there wasn't a single open receiver, I think, the whole time.
Yeah, which to me is more a failure of the GM than it is him.
BLV and Fayette County Jesus in the chat are saying Brian Hartline as a dark horse, although one of them did not really say that. He just made a joke, adding one letter to Hartline to make it a funny word. I think Hartline is the kind of guy that's like hasn't been a head coach before, where you'd be making a big unknown swing, but it could really work in your favor. But then again, hiring away Ohio State's defensive coordinator has quite literally blown up in their face.
Well, again, it's a guy whose career record is 0-0, and you're willing to roll the dice on him versus keep a guy around who had you in the Final Four last year.
Let me ask you a question.
And I like Hartline, and I'd probably prefer that too. But, I mean, just saying it out loud, you're dumping a guy who had you in the Final Four last
year
for
an unknown commodity.
For somebody who you have zero clue what he would be like as a head coach.
It's basically the old bit of, I just want something different. That's, I think, part of the reason a lot of people want Mike Tomlin out here. They don't even know if the next guy would definitively be better, but they're willing to see something different. Let me ask you really quick.
But the difference there, and I said yesterday,
Mike should never be talked about in the same breath as Franklin.
Tomlin's career is much better than James Franklin's. But the equivalent of what James Franklin was in last year
is the
AFC Championship game.
True.
And he got fired not even a whole season after that. Like, I think it was the right call, and the last 2 weeks have been unbelievably embarrassing and a black eye for the program. But that is a knee-jerk reaction, and as you put it, a pretty impulsive thing to do to a guy who had you a win away from the national championship game. It is crazy.
If you had to take one...
It's nutty.
If you had to take one of the following two people who's never actually coached a college game as their next coach,
yep,
Hartline or Mike Shanahan, who's the OC for Cignetti?
I would say Hartline, but I understand why Shanahan has a strong argument. He's doing it at Indiana, which is not a place anyone has ever won before.
Correct.
Prior to these two guys getting, I guess they were okay with, they were pretty good with Pennix for that 1 year with Allen, but nothing like this where they were in the playoff last year. Here's Jim in the car. Hello, Jim.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, man.
Hey, listen, I have been a Penn State fan since birth. I appreciate everything Franklin did for us. It was time. It was just time. Like, and I listen, I get it. He was in the national semifinal last year. They brought almost everybody back. Penn State went all in. Kraft went all in. And Oregon in that overtime game broke him. You saw it on his face.
Yeah.
He was broken after that game. And he couldn't come back the next week against UCLA, and then he couldn't come back against Northwestern. It death spiraled from there. I mean, that post-game press drop from Tufts Northwestern, you saw it. I mean, if you see that, there's a picture of the guys looking at him during the press conference. Everybody knew what was going to happen after that press conference. They knew. He was done. I mean,
Think most Penn State fans are going to look back on James Franklin fondly?
I think there's going to be... They give it some time, and they will look back fondly. I think right now it's kind of a fresh wound. I mean
right now he's riding a three-game losing streak, and two of those games are to very bad teams.
Yeah.
Like I said yesterday, you could squint and understand the UCLA one. It's a road game, and they've got a five-star quarterback that they brought in the portal under a big NIL deal, and that specific dude, Ayamo Liava, balled out.
Mm-hmm.
There's no such excuse for Northwestern. They walked into your house and physically were the better team.
Well, there was no excuse for the UCLA game either.
But I just said, he's a five-star quarterback. He's a guy who will play on Sundays, and he was the whole bleeping show as, what was that, Rob Van Dam, Donnie? He was Mr. Saturday afternoon at the Rose Bowl.
Adam is next. Hello, Adam.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey.
I think... getting rid of Franklin's a little premature.
Here's the first person to call in and actually say they're not exactly sure this was the right call. Please continue.
I mean, you have Clifford, you have Aller. If anybody should have been gone, it should be Danny O'Brien, your quarterback's coach. You can't take a coach that almost had you at a national championship, 1 year removed, struggle, and put all the blame on him when I believe it's the quarterback that can't get the job done.
But Franklin brought in Aller, and Franklin vouched for Aller, and Franklin wanted them to pay Aller and bring him back. So he's got to be held responsible for that.
He does, to a point. At some point, though, too, you know, till Aller has been put in those positions and put – you know, given the opportunity to win in the big games, and when he doesn't, then you say, okay, you know, maybe he isn't the guy I thought he was. You know, I mean, that's no different than anybody picking any quarterback up saying he's our guy. And
I just don't think you can pass the buck to the quarterback's coach and say it was his fault when the head coach hires the quarterback's coach and the head coach goes out and picks his own groceries and picks out that quarterback to be his guy.
I think I'm going to say this about the situation as far as why they did it now. I think if they beat Northwestern, he's still the head coach right now. Pretty obviously, it still is probably dead man walking situation up there. Look at who they put in charge as the interim head coach. Terry Smith is not their OC. He's not their DC. He's the guy everyone respects in there. He's a longtime Franklin lieutenant. He's the guy who
he's a Penn State lifer.
He's just a guy who I think is going to be good at rallying that locker room. Doesn't that suggest to you that Franklin had lost a lot of those guys?
Yeah, they need someone to kind of like
galvanize
the team.
If they thought that it was more of a tactical problem than anything and that was the biggest concern, wouldn't they just make Kotelnicki probably or Jim Knowles the interim head coach?
Well,
and say,
I think
you're
if
both?
They felt like Franklin was the problem and those two guys were great and maybe one of them could be promoted to be a head coach,
but
they
also
would give the guy the shot now.
But also, if they thought like just giving the guy with one side, whose side was doing better, more control directly over game day, they wouldn't have made Terry.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Smith, the interim.
You better have some corners taller than me if you're dealing with the likes of T. Higgins and people like that. And that's something that we talk about as a collective, the intimacy of divisional relationships. It's just a component of the game. You better stack up good against those that you compete against a lot of ways. And so I'm sure people acquire secondary people to match up with that collective. Baltimore took a first-round corner and Nate Wiggins the other year, I'm sure, with that group in mind. The Bengals have taken right tackles in recent years, I'm sure, to minimize TJ's impact in that relationship. That's divisional play. That's what makes it so challenging and so exciting.
Listen to Starkey tomorrow to learn about Starkey's Card of the Week from the Baseball Card Castle and Cranberry Contest run Wednesday through Friday at noon on the 93.7 The Fan contesting page. Football Talk on the Fan's presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Time for Donnie's Tomlin Tidbit. Mike Tomlin talks for almost a half hour every Tuesday. Sometimes, like this week, he gets annoyed with the Steelers media and a hot mic picks up him saying that. But throughout all that, we do get some nuggets in there, and Donnie has found this one from this Steelers-Bengals confab. Mike Tomlin saying we need corners bigger than him to play against Cincinnati.
So I think it's a little bit more relevant this week because even though some of the personnel is different, Jalen Ramsey into the fold, and he is playing very well in a Steelers uniform. It's hard for people in Pittsburgh to forget that first matchup last year and what T. Higgins did to Joey Porter Jr. in this game. And if we know anything about Joe Flacco's game, at this stage in his career, it may count on a lot of plays like that. Throw it down the field and just hope for a yellow flag more than even a reception. And we got the quote after that game, what he compared T. Higgins to Shaq.
Hack a Shaq. Got to use your fouls against him.
He's a goon.
Doesn't exactly work in the same way, at least to me.
Yeah, but it's really a terrible analogy because it just, yeah.
Because Shaq
gives
would
you so
often
many yards.
Miss the free
right,
throws.
It was
here
like
they would just give you,
right.
you know, tons
yeah,
of yards.
Let the Bengals get down to the goal line where it's much harder for them to score.
But it does make me think going into this game how that matchup shakes out again because they still have Jamar Chase. That guy should be covered by your best player, like
Jalen Ramsey.
And it will turn into Joey Porter Jr. against T. Higgins again.
Yeah, where does that leave Darius Slay?
Covering
Yoshivas, who had about 10 drops last week.
I'm kind of more interested in how they handle Chase Brown on little routes coming out of the backfield because they can't run the ball there. But I do like him as an overall talent. Like, just ball in his hands, I think he's a dynamic player when he's got a little space.
All of this talk about this game just makes me think how pissed I'm going to be if they lose.
But you don't seem to think that there's a real chance that they're going to lose.
They've got this division in the palm of their hand. They could get a vice grip on it if they win this game and go 4 up on Baltimore and basically make it choke-proof if they win. And if they slip on this banana peel,
the door has been
I'm going to be really, really, really upset.
The door will have been reopened widely if they slip on the banana peel.
Because you'll give Baltimore a glimmer of hope with Lamar coming back. And you might even give Cincinnati a little bit, a tiny smidgen of belief because they'll think Flacco can get it done until Joe Burrow comes back. So just and any hope Cincinnati has, Cleveland's already out of sight, out of mind.
You'd be 4 ahead in the loss column of every team in the division going into a weekend where, yes, Baltimore can't lose because they don't play. You will have three more wins than anybody and four fewer losses than anybody.
Yeah.
What a percentage chance do you give them to actually lose this game?
Three.
Three. Exactly three. Not two, not four.
The first number that popped into my head. Donnie?
Three just feels way too low.
That was my gut answer.
I give the Bengals like
25.
Like, I give the Bengals like, yeah, 20 to 25% chance to win. Cowboy Joe Flacco, I mean, an extra week getting ready and learning those plays, I think you're going to get a better version of him.
He doesn't have an extra week. He has like one extra day, Chris.
Days.
He has one more practice.
Yeah, he can go home and study, though, constantly.
He has one phony baloney practice where they won't hit anybody or anything.
He can study more and more.
I also think the Mike Tomlin road record on Thursday Night Football against his division is still relevant here. He's never won a game in that setting.
He's due.
He's due.
Yeah. That's what I'm going with.
He may have played some bad teams.
Oh, I know.
And some bad quarterbacks.
Brady Quinn would be one of them. All right, thanks, Don.
How about Jameis in the snow? Jameis had never seen the snow or played in it before. Just balled out.
His helmet broke on one of those throws in the snow.
Yes.
Right? There was like
he had that even goofier helmet on. Yeah. He was wearing a very goofy, stupid-looking helmet.
Well, he is goofy. That's for sure.
Would you feel like this game was more or less dangerous than it currently is if Jameis was their quarterback instead of Flacco?
For the Bengals?
Yeah. Does he make them more dangerous than Flacco or less?
I think he makes them slightly more dangerous, but not by a lot. But they're both... I mean, Jameis in a lot of ways is just a younger version of Joe Flacco. There's a ton of arm talent there. There's also questionable decision making, to put it mildly.
Questionable decision making.
To put it mildly. They're both turnover prone. So
Tomlin would rather see Jameis if I had to guess.
100%. He doesn't respect Jameis, not nearly as much.
He's been in battles against Flacco and he's come out on the wrong end.
He would never want Jameis Winston on his team, and I think he would take Joe Flacco as a backup for sure. Here is B. Wheezy on the James Franklin firing. Hello, B. Wheezy.
What's up, boys? Hey, I think he got a raw deal. I got a couple things to say, and then I have a question I want to ask you guys.
Sure.
I think he got a raw deal because the 20 years before James Franklin was there and Joe Paterno was the coach, when was Penn State ever a top-tier team? They had, like, two good seasons. Their Rashard Casey, Kevin Thompson year, and Michael Robinson year. Other than that, they were mediocre the whole time. And then last year, I'm in a text group with all my friends. I was so annoyed. We lose in the college semifinals, and everybody's mad, like it's a bad year. Like what did they want? That was like a dream year for us as Penn State fans. We almost made it to the end. We were in the Final Four, and I think what it is it's this money, the NIL money. Everybody, like on the Pat McAfee show, Penn State's loaded. Up north, all these teams got all this money, and I think it's ruined it for the Penn State fans. We got a 12-team playoff now. We were going to be able to be in it every year, like 7-8 out of 10 years, we'd have been in the playoffs.
Gotcha. Malzy, I'll let you...
The opening part of that call is not wrong, and it is indicative of how, I would say, brainwashed people were by the Joe Paterno experience.
Where do you want to start the odometer on that comment? Like, how far back do you want to go? What do you think his starting point was?
As far as Paterno and how it curled?
Yeah, and how he said it was mediocre for a long time, other than a year
or two. The early 2000s, right before I got there, was not headed in the right direction.
All right, why don't
most
we just...
Most of my time... I started there in 03, and they were atrocious, all but really the Mike Robinson
All right, so
year.
Let's do this century. So that would be 26 seasons, including this one, right? Under Joe Paterno, so from 2000 to 2011 is when the scandal happened.
Yep.
So that's 12 seasons of Penn State football.
Yep.
They finished the season ranked in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So 5 of 12, that's less than 50%. And they finished ranked in the top 10 three times. That's 3 of 12, 25%. 05, 08, and 09. They lost in the Rose Bowl in 08. They finished ranked ninth and won 11 games the following year.
They were a perpetual Capital One Bowl and Outback Bowl. And I mean, the time I got there, 3-9, 4-7, 11-1, and then 9-4.
James Franklin was the coach. Same thing, 12 years. So same number as Paterno. Mm-hmm. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 top 25 seasons. And 1, 2, 3, 4 times ranked in the top 10. So it's better.
Yeah, and it was,
objectively,
and it was dealing
better
with sanctions that Joe wasn't dealing with. Joe sucked his last, like, relatively speaking.
He was not really, Chris.
He had the 11-2 year with Mike Robinson, and he was pretty good in 2008 and 2009 back-to-back, but, like, they did not feel like a team that was going anywhere for real. I mean, there was a lengthy
run there.
Okay,
in 2010 and 2011, that was true, but the 2 years prior to that, one of them, they went to the Rose Bowl and won the Big Ten. What do you mean they weren't going anywhere?
They still weren't going anywhere as a program long-term, in my opinion.
Well, they probably weren't going anywhere long-term because they were coached by a man in his 80s.
Yeah.
He did not have many years left, regardless of if the scandal was on the horizon.
They tried to force him out of there, and they went to his lawn years before the scandal happened, and he told them to get off his lawn. He told the AD of the school,
yes,
and he told the
Yes, we all know the story.
To F off, basically.
I mean, from 2000 to 2004, yes, they had a five-year period that was not very good. They finished ranked one time. They had four losing seasons in there. That's not good, but then he got it back together again. But not back together to the high, I won't say much high, much higher heights, but Franklin did take the program
they were in better
to higher heights than when Franklin was here.
Joe left it in complete shambles in more ways than one, and Franklin brought it back. I'm sorry, I'm tickled by a YouTube comment about when we were talking about Jameis Winston. It said that Jameis had a 30-30 season before O'Neal Cruz. Just, I am very tickled by that one.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.